At this time, I'll have Brother Jason Severs, if he would come on up. I'd mentioned a while ago, Brother Earl, I almost said it again, Earl Barnett. He ministered in Alaska for many years there. And as I said, he was one of our missionaries. And our Brother Jason is one of our missionaries. And I'll let him introduce his family out there, because I'll probably stutter on what was his name and all that. So anyway, it's a joy to have Brother Jason with us today. God bless you.
Thank you, preacher.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It is so good to be here this morning. And I will say this, it's good to be in warmer weather. Some of you understand that, Brother Barnett. But the Lord is blessed, and we are so grateful to be with you guys for these days, and looking forward to what God will do in our midst today. And I'll introduce my family. My wife Teresa and I have been married 24 years, come in December. And then we have our two youngest sons, Andrew and Timothy. Andrew will be 13, or will be 15, and Timothy is 13. And you guys can be seated. Thank you so much. It is good to be here. We have two older boys that are still in Alaska. Jonathan's graduated high school in 2020. He went to a vocational school there in Alaska, and he's got his degree or his certificate in diesel mechanic, and he's operating heavy equipment and driving. He's playing with Tonka toys. He's always doing giant Tonka toys, and he's loving that. And then our other son, our second oldest son, Nathaniel, just graduated high school this year. And he is working for our electrical co-op there in Glen Allen, and he desires to be a lineman and work in the electrical co-op there. And so you pray for them. They're together in Seward. Nathaniel drove down to be with Jonathan while we're gone for this weekend. And I called him yesterday and asked him which one had a busted nose and all the good stuff that brothers like to do, fight, you know, all the good stuff. But it is a joy to be here, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to be, like I said, in warmer weather for just a little while. We got on a plane on Sunday night or Monday morning, and we flew this direction. We will spend this week with my parents, and it's good to see them and spend time with them. And then we also are leaving this afternoon, driving to the Outer Banks now to spend time with Teresa's mom and her family. Some of you remember from our prayer letter, Teresa's father passed away unexpectedly back in November, and her family had scheduled a vacation for the whole family to get together out in Outer Banks, and it's just going to be a good time of joyful celebration, and it's a good time for us to enjoy some sunshine. And not looking forward to, be honest with you, not looking forward to the winters of 30 and 40 and 50 below. And those are great days for a little space of time. But we're so grateful to be here. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'll give you a little update. I was trying to remember the last time we were here, and I don't remember exactly. I believe it was about 10 years ago, somewhere along that line. The Lord allowed us to be back with you guys. We live and serve in a little community called Glen Allen. If you were to take Anchorage and you look at a map of Anchorage in Alaska, we're 4 hours northeast of Anchorage, back up into the Copper River Basin, and just about 2 hours north of Valdez, about 2 hours from the Canadian border, and 5 hours south of Fairbanks. So we sit in the interior of Alaska and are grateful for where God has put us. I will truly say this. God has grown us, and God has showed us that truly is where He desired for us to be and to minister. And we pastor and minister at Old Paths Baptist Church there in Glen Allen. We have also a ministry in Mentasta, which is a native village about 80 miles northeast of our home and our church there. And we have an opportunity to minister in a native village. There are 8 native Alaskan villages surrounding Glen Allen. And we don't necessarily go into all those villages and have a ministry in them, because there's already a church there. And I hope you understand when I say this. It's a church that preaches the gospel. It may not be of like faith, but most of the preachers in most of those places there have a gospel witness. And so we don't necessarily go in there and try to proselyte and to confuse people. Our goal is to see the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed. And those churches are doing that in some regard. And so we don't make it a point to disrupt their ministry. But God has allowed us to get into Mentasta where there's not a church, and then also in Glen Allen. And we're so thankful for that opportunity. This past summer has been a huge, huge, very extremely busy summer for us and our family. We had 23 folks come from North Carolina, from Concord, North Carolina, and came up. You imagine trying to host 23 people in your house. My wife and I hosted 23 folks in our house. Grocery shopping is not like you have here. We have to drive 3.5-4 hours to go grocery shopping. And so we piled all those folks in a bus. We packed the back of the bus with their luggage and groceries for a week with 23 people. And we drove them up to Glen Allen. And they went and did a VBS in Mentasta and had great results and tremendous opportunity there. And then we've been a part of three camps, two teen camps. One of them was a remote village camp. When I say remote, we flew out to Cayenne. There's missionaries out there serving in Cayenne by the name of David and Tammy Youngblood. Some of you may be familiar with them, but they're out in Cayenne. And we've been out there and traveled out to Cayenne, then got on a boat and rode about 4 miles. When I say rode, we motored about 4 miles upriver on the Kobuk River to a lodge, an abandoned fishing lodge, and we had a camp there. And the guys slept in tents, the ladies slept in the old lodge, and had 9 young people come to know Christ as our personal Savior at that camp. And then we've done our camps with our church kids this summer as well. So been busy, but we're so grateful. I wish you'd pray for the ministry there. I'll give you just an update on the things God is doing. We remodeled our church building last year. When I took over that ministry back in 2011, we were meeting in an old remodeled house. I say remodeled, repurposed house. And it had been added on to and added on to. And Brother Barnett, you'll understand this. Everything in Alaska has been added on to about 15 times. They build this small structure and they just keep adding on and adding on and adding on. Well, what had transpired because of the permafrost and the heaving of the ground, the house and the bathroom portion of the house had separated. And so literally the old house was like this and the bathroom was like this. You had to step down and then walk uphill to go to the restroom. And just was not a profitable situation in any regard. So we began praying and God gave us an opportunity to move across the road. Just right behind our local gas station there is a old abandoned phone company building that had been abandoned for 10 years. And I told the church, I said, if we'll pray and God will give us $50,000, I believe we could buy a piece of land and set up a building that we had on that piece of land. Well, through all of those things, the man who owned that old phone company building came to me and he said, I hear you're praying for $50,000 for a building. I said, yes, we are. He said, what about my old building over there? It's been abandoned for 10 plus years. I said, well, we would love to, but we can't afford the rent that you're asking for that thing. And he said, what about if we just let you use it rent free? So we take care of all the utilities, of course, and we've been in that building for 11 years now. We've not paid a dime of rent. We take care of everything as far as remodeling and all that stuff. And we are so thankful for the hand of God. We're praying. We're trying to repair the roof. I'll give you just a bit of information. It's, again, I've been abandoned, and I've never understood this. And some of you may have, who have better carpentry skills, can explain this to me a little bit. But they took and they put a metal roof on the building years and years ago, and then they took and spray foamed on top of that. Well, that spray foam is rotted out and soaked with water. And so we're trying to raise money just to our church people and whatnot to try to get that roof rebuilt and repaired. We started this fundraiser in, I would say, January, and up to last Sunday, the Lord had brought in $14,000 for our roof repair and roof remodel. And so we're thankful for God's giving us and helping there. And we still need about $3,000, $4,000 to get that goal accomplished. So if you would pray with us that in God's time and God's abundance, He'll take care of that. I know He will. He's been so good to us so far. We're just trusting Him. And I understand you have the Baker family coming here in just a few short, next week actually. Brother Jason and Miss Heidi and their kids, young men, have been a great asset and help to us there in Glen Allen. We're so thankful for them and their ministry, and you pray for them as well. It's kind of weird the way we worked out. We both came off back to North Carolina at the same time, but so grateful for them. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, if you have questions, you'd like to have more information about our ministry there, please ask me. We'll be happy to share with you what God is doing. We've had record not only those 9 young people trusted Christ at camp this year, we've had two young men start coming to our church, and both of those within this last 6 months have trusted Christ. Both graduated high school, and they're now going on to their respective field. One leaves to go to the Coast Guard, and one's working in a mechanic shop in Anchorage. But we're grateful for God saving those two young men and what the work that He's going to do in their lives. So you pray for them as well. 1 Peter chapter number 1, I'm interested in this portion of Scripture. Most of you, some of you may know this, some of you may not. I grew up not far down the road in Mill Spring. I remember my parents are from Brevard, and they used to travel up to my grandparents in Brevard. And I don't know why, but it just seemed like it took forever to drive from Mill Spring to Brevard. And we got on the interstate the other day, and we went down to play golf down in Campobello, and I was like, man, that didn't take long at all. Maybe because I was driving a little faster than I was supposed to, but it's like, that didn't take long at all. Just so you understand, we've seen more cars in this week than we'll see in an entire year in Alaska. We went through the Apple Festival the other day. There were more people at the Apple Festival in Hendersonville than there were in the entire Alaska State Fair this entire year. I was like, my goodness, this is crazy. I'm glad I live in remote Alaska where there's like 300 people. You know, I can handle 300 people. I was afraid what was going to happen to me at the Apple Festival yesterday. But I'm interested in this portion of Scripture for a reason. Growing up, our church motto there at Grace and Landrum was this. Every church has a tagline. Most churches have a tagline. But the tagline for the church there under the leadership of Dr. Godfrey was this. We preach the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. We preach the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And that has stuck with me. Matter of fact, it's made a lasting impact in my life. I understand that there are things and the Word of God's got to be expounded upon. But the truth of the matter is, church, if we will focus on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, we can not go wrong. We like to get on our bandwagons. We like to jump on our little trails, and we like to take off on those things. But the truth of the matter is, what this world needs is the book, the blood, and the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Peter is writing to a people, to a group of Christians. The church is expounding and growing and increasing. Nero's coming on throne, and Peter truly has nothing to offer the people, because the people are going to be facing great persecution. You and I think that we face persecution today. We do not know anything like the persecution of the first century church, specifically under the leadership of Nero. And you find here, Peter has nothing to offer them. He has nothing physically he can offer the church. He has nothing materially or militarily that he can offer the church. I would dare say that Peter has nothing financially he can offer the church. But the one thing that Peter does have, he shares with them. He can't promise them any external resources. He cannot promise them any external power through their ongoing struggles of religious liberty. He had nothing on the outside he could give them other than this. The Bible says in verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I will continue reading more verses as we move throughout the scripture this morning. But I want to remind you and share with you, the only thing Peter has to offer this church is a lively hope. A lively hope. You say, what are you talking about, a lively hope? It's a hope, in this context, is a hope of earnest expectation. Earnestly expecting the return of Jesus Christ. Peter shares Jesus and Jesus is coming again. I would say to us today that 2,000 years after Peter expressed these words to a church that was growing, a church that was exceeding and seeing great growth, but also tremendous persecution, we have that same blessed hope, that same eternal and earnest expectation that Jesus Christ is coming soon. In the day and age we're living in, I'm thankful that Jesus is my only hope. I'm thankful that he is the only hope that we have for eternity. I am kind of concerned. As we were walking through Hendersonville yesterday, and we were down walking through downtown and experiencing the Apple Festival and all the things that were going on with the Apple Festival, you're encompassed with multitudes of people. You see people whose hope is wrapped up in their families. You see people whose hope are wrapped up in their finances. You see people whose hope are wrapped up in such silly things as their pets. I'm glad today that I have something far greater to rest my hope on. And that's Jesus Christ. We stopped to fill up gas the other day here, and we were given a gift card for gas, 20 cents off at Circle K. And so we stopped to fill up gas, and it was $3.39 for a gallon of gasoline at the gas pump. And how easy it is to complain and to murmur and to get aggravated and frustrated because gasoline costs so much. I do remind you, though, next time you go to the pump to fuel up, that the pipeline, the Alaska pipeline, runs right by our church. You can drive down the road not even half a mile and you can see the Alaska pipeline. The tractor trailers are running back and forth from Valdez to Fairbanks hauling gas and diesel fuel. They're stopping in Glen Allen. They're fueling up our gas pumps, and we're still paying $5.29 per gallon of gasoline. It's like, I'll take the prices of gas here. I remember I filled up my pickup truck the other week, and filling up my pickup truck was $270 to fill up my pickup truck. We had bought a bus from another church in Fairbanks, and we were doing vacation Bible school, and I'm grateful that the gas is a price of diesel had decreased a little bit, but I got to looking at the spec sheets on this bus, and it was an older bus, but I got to looking at the spec sheets, and it was a 100-gallon fuel tank on that bus. I got to thinking about it. 100 gallons at $6.29, that's a lot of money. It's easy to get fretting and concerned and worried about, Lord, how is this going to get taken care of? But the truth of the matter is, we have a blessed hope. And the prices and the internet or the stock market and all those things can fluctuate and go up and down. But let's not forget that we have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. Give you just a few thoughts this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the hospitality of this great church. I thank you for the pastor, and I thank you for the folks who faithfully serve you. God, I'm reminded today that you are coming soon. And Lord, I pray that as we look at just for a few moments into the Word of God, that you would show us what you have for us. You would encourage our hearts, you would strengthen us, and Lord, that you would make our desire that in the day that we're living in, we would be looking for your soon return. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I have four thoughts this morning. I will not be long in these thoughts, but there are four thoughts that I have. And the first one I want you to see is a lively hope is based on the resurrection and the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, what makes you say that our hope is built on the crucifixion and the resurrection? Well, I can just put it to you this way. He got up out of that tomb on that third day. He got out of that tomb on that third day. The Bible tells us in our text in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And notice this, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God has a reserved place in heaven for us. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I skip down to verse number 18. For so much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. But notice verse 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God. I ask you this morning, if our heavenly and our lively hope is built and based upon the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that the source of our hope comes from God. The source that we have comes from God. The love of God cannot be marginalized. The love of God cannot be forgotten. When you think about the love of God, the church here, this first century church, they were loved, they were kept of the eternal, omnipotent Lord. He knew where they were in their journey, and he was more than able to provide all that they needed that they were going to endure. The Romans were going to be threatened, and they were even going to be martyred. But their hope remained. I share with you today that we may not face the martyrdom that the Christians face. We may not face the difficulties that the first century Christians faced, but our hope is still provided. It is still given to us by Jesus Christ, and it's based upon his resurrection and the crucifixion. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, "Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Church, do not forget that the hope that we have comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We serve the Lord, and our hope is not in those around us. Our hope is not in the policies. Our hope is not in our legislation of our government. Our hope is not in the resources that are obtained from Wall Street, but our hope comes from none other than Jesus Christ. And I am exceedingly earnestly expecting that very soon we will be with him for the rest of eternity. We also see the significance of our hope. Knowing that whatever we may endure in this life is but a temporal place. It is temporal. Regardless of the cause, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what you and I may face, death is certain for all of us. Unless Jesus comes and we're raptured out of here, and that would be a great day. But death is certain. But I'm thankful today that the significance of my hope is this: death is not final. It's not final. We have a promise of life. We have a promise of life for the rest of eternity with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you." We see the significance. We see the source. There's also the splendor in our hope. In John chapter 14 and verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The environment in which the early church lived was much to be desired. You have to understand, theirs was not an easy existence. Their clothes. I was reading something just last night. The clothes of the early church and that early generation, that was not something that you just walked down and went down to the store and purchased. It was labor intensive to weave and to get the materials so that you could get your clothes. It wasn't until the 1800s when the looms became more predominant that clothing became cheaper and easier to acquire. I mean, I can't imagine the difficulty and the struggle that the first century church faced. And I will no wise liken it to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We in Alaska struggle sometimes with just keeping the water flowing at 30 and 40 below zero. It struggles sometimes just to keep the sewer from freezing. When we moved into our house had sat empty for a year and a half. And we went to use the restroom, and for about a week, everything was fine. Everything was great. But after that first week, things started backing up, and we had to have our septic system pumped out. And this is November, December in Glen Allen. They came to us, and when they were pumping out, they said, "We can't pump out your septic systems. We got to thaw it out." They brought a steam truck in to thaw out the septic system, and come to find out, they could not even thaw out the septic system because it had frozen and separated from the piping underground the septic tank had. We had to have a brand new septic system put into our house. We've experienced taking big old ready heaters and sticking under your house to try to thaw out water lines and just to get water flowing. To us, that's a struggle. Your car won't start because the oil is so thick. We have no struggles like this first century church faced. The struggles that you and I face are nowhere in comparison to what this first century church faced. And yet, Peter reminds them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Can you imagine the day? I look forward to this day where we get to spend the rest of eternity with Christ in heaven. It's hard to comprehend the magnificence of spending the rest of eternity with Christ in heaven. I don't want to liken it to this, and I am no way trying to draw a comparison, but when you leave recently, a few years ago, my wife and I celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary, and Teresa and I flew to Hawaii to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary with some friends of ours, and we got on a plane in November of 2018. And I don't remember the exact temperature. I'm not going to exaggerate it and blow your mind, but I believe it was in the minus 20s, minus 30s. We left that temperature. We flew to, landed in Honolulu, Hawaii. We'd never been there. And when we stepped off that airplane, that humidity hit us. I was like, what is that big orb in the sky? What is that? It's producing heat. And I can liken a little bit when we, and this may be very, I'm not trying to be very crash about this, but I can liken leaving the circumstances of Alaska at 30 and 40 and 50 below zero and landing in Hawaii going, wow. When we get to heaven, we're going to be so much in awe of just the glory of God. I've thought about this. I don't think we're going to be so consumed with the streets of gold. I don't think we're going to be so consumed with the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. I think we're going to be so in awe of God. And that is the hope that you and I have today. The world does not have the splendor of the hope of eternity with Christ. The world does not have the significance of the hope. The world does not have the source of the hope. The world does not have the security of the hope. I love this verse. The Bible says that we are kept. Let me find this once again, just so I can make sure that verse 5, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If anything was certain in the lives of the early believers, it was uncertainty. They never knew a day what it would bring forth. They never knew the struggles that they would be called to endure. And in the midst of the uncertainty, Peter reminds them that they have a secure future. It was secure, and that it was unchangeable. The grace of God, the mercy of God is unchangeable. I share with you that grace and mercy are fresh and new every morning. But God is still the yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Most of us probably realize the fundamental truth. But I think that we need to be reminded Our lives here will not last. Death is certain. And we are too kept by the power of God. We are simply waiting for the time to make the transition from life of this day into the next. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I fell in my perfection with God. I fell drastically in my perfection. But one day, I will be like him. I long for the day when I get to spend eternity with Christ. I long for the day when I don't have a hope of what's coming, but I get to live in the very presence of what is then and now. Sadly, not everybody has that blessed hope. Sadly, not everybody has that anticipation of eternity with Christ. And there are those that are longing for something. We reside in a place where people are always trying to get their next big thing. Right now in Alaska is hunting season. And I am awestruck. Our church sits right on the side of the highway, and we have a big picture window that we can look out. It's very distracting, but we have a big picture window that you can look out, and you see all these hunting buggies going up and down the highway, going to their hunting spots. And you'll see these big old moose racks in the back of these hunting buggies where people have gone 40 miles into the bush and killed their moose, and they've probably spent $150,000 on trucks and vehicles to go get this moose. They're always looking for that next big thing. It goes from fishing season to hunting season to snow machine to four-wheeler to skiing to hunting, and that cycle just continues and continues and continues. They're always looking for something. As Christians, my only true anticipation is eternity with Christ. My question to you today is very simply this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your blessed hope? Are you anticipating spending the rest of eternity with Christ? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you have the great opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I would invite you to do that today. There are people here that I know for a fact can take the Word of God and show you what it means to be a child of God and have your hope settled in Christ. Remember, He is our source. Remember, He is our significant hope. Our hope is secure in Him. And the splendor is of that hope we will spend the rest of eternity with Christ. If you would stand, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Take just a moment to have a time of invitation. There may be somebody here today that you're not sure that heaven's your eternal home. I want you to know Christ died on the cross for you. Your past does not hinder you from knowing Jesus Christ. If you know Christ, then I would ask you to do this. Maybe you have somebody in your life, maybe you have somebody in your family, a friend, a companion, that does not know Christ. What are you doing to make sure that person has the same blessed hope that you have? I'm going to ask the pianist after we pray to play just a hymn of invitation. And I'll turn the service over to Brother Jesse. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the blessed hope we have in Christ. God, would you please take that blessed hope. Lord, there may be somebody here this morning that does not have that blessed hope, that lively hope, that hope that's living inside of us. God, would you please help them, convict them, woo them and draw them so that Christ may be exalted and they may put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you do the work? Would you encourage the heart which is needed today in Jesus' name?